Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to Archie Powell, lead singer of Archie Powell and the Exports, a great new rock band from Chicago. Their new album, Great Ideas in Action. Stick around. If you don't, Archie will make jokes about you instead of Nickelback. Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience of singer-songwriters still trying to find words that rhyme with orange to finish their grand rock operas in the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. One song. That's all it took to convince me that I wanted Archie Powell of Archie Powell and the Exports as a guest on this show. It was the video for a song called Crazy Pills. I found the visuals instantly cool, and the music matched up perfectly. The band rocks hard and fast, pouring out a mainstream pop sound with clever lyrics. You try writing a song that makes the word metronome sound melodic. And they've got a style that's all their own, while reminding us of everyone from the Romantics in the 80s to the Doors in the 60s. The band is just back from a month-long tour of the U.S. and Canada, supporting their new album, Great Ideas in Action. Interrupted only by, well, getting robbed, code, having breakdowns, and bats. And don't worry, I'll ask. So joining me today is Archie Powell, who'll be performing two songs live during the show. Archie Powell, welcome to Mr. Media.
Hi, how you doing, Mr. Media?
Good to see you. Glad to have you here.
You too.
Okay, so you know now. I read the band's blog, and I got to know. Bats? Tell me about bats.
Literally like flying rodent creature bats. Every now and again you'll find one in your room and you got to catch it.
Where? Tell us where so we don't go there.
Well, I wouldn't say don't go there, but that was in Peterborough in Canada, and the building we stayed in was just like infinity years old, so obviously there's just bats that live everywhere in there. It was a pretty comical 30 minutes trying to get a bat out of the room. For those of you keeping score at home, a good method is the two-person attack, one guy with a big pot and the other guy with a blanket. You may know this as the black sheep school of thought for bat acquisition. It's still going to take you a while. We haven't really figured out efficient bat acquisition tactics yet as a species. I mean, you could put a man on the moon, but good luck with the bat. That's all I'm going to say.
Now, do they warn you when you check in that there may be bats in the room?
Oh, no. I don't think anyone would be staying anywhere if that were the case.
Ah.
But, you know, yeah, that was pretty spooky.
I thought maybe that would be like the old, you know, the waiter. Waiter, there's a fly in my soup. And he says, quiet.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone will want one.
Yeah, exactly, for sure.
Bats, okay.
You know, whatever. We had a fun time. We got a good story and a few goofy photos, so it's all fine.
We have photos of the bat?
I documented the whole thing from underneath the safety of my sleeping bag.
Okay. All right. Well, if you didn't, who caught the bat in the band?
It was Alex, our touring guitar player, and Aaron, the guy who plays bass in this band called Sandman Viper Command from Toronto, who we were on the road with. They should open like a pest control service or something because they handled it pretty well. It was good. They got a good backup plan when this whole rock and roll thing falls through.
I was going to say, you know, you guys are back off the road. Maybe they're giving it some thought.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll ask them.
And then there was one other interesting thing mentioned in the blog. That was a robbery.
Yeah.
What happened there?
We just parked. It was in Buffalo. We just parked the van in like a grocery store for like 10 minutes in broad daylight just to get like cup noodles or whatever terrible food we had succumbed to eating. And we came out and somebody had gotten in and taken all the, you know, bags of shoulder straps, you know, just easy stuff. It wouldn't have been that big of a deal. It was just kind of computers and stuff. But passports were in there too, which was problematic for crossing the border. But it turns out the magic word to get into Canada is please anyway. So it was fine.
So they took shoulder bags and passports?
Well, the passports were in the bags.
Oh.
And poor Alex lost a guitar, which is a bummer. But other than that, it was just very replaceable stuff. But mainly just a big inconvenience, you know? That's all it really was. I wasn't too broken up about it. I lost like a laptop, but I mean, really, who cares? It's just a laptop in the grand scheme of things.
So that happened on the U.S. side?
Yeah, U.S. side. Buffalo, New York.
That would never happen in a land where you say please to enter their country, would it?
No, absolutely not. I wouldn't think so either, you know. But, hey, that's okay. Just over the border. We were so close and yet so far.
Well, so I mentioned, I mean, I saw the, my introduction to the band was the Crazy Pills video, which I thought was really cool. I mean, it's got that kind of jumpy visual to start, and it's a great song. Can you tell me anything about that?
The video, I'm glad you like it. Actually, Ryan, our keyboard player, was at the helm of that whole thing. That was his whole idea, and he directed it and kind of oversaw the whole editing process, came up with the whole concept and everything. So the more stuff you can get done in-house amongst yourselves, the better off you'll be probably. You'll save money, and you'll probably be more satisfied with your whole project and in the end. So yeah, that turned out really well. I'm really happy about it.
It's a great calling card for the band, I thought. I know this morning as I was getting ready to talk to you, I had that turned up, and then I played the rest of the album, and my wife went by and said, "What was that?" I said, "Well, I'm actually talking to these guys today." She said, "Good choice."
Well, that's terrific. I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah, it's good.
We're working on a new video this summer too, so stay tuned for that. We'll let you know.
Very good. Yeah. Now you're going to do two songs for us this morning. The first is "You Might Be Cruel or I Might Be Dumb."
Yes, correct.
Is it better to talk about the song before or after?
I don't know, man. I don't think there's rules.
Okay.
Yeah, if you're dying to know something, I'd be happy.
I'm dying to know. Tell me about the song. I mean, I like the title.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a bit of self-deprecating humor in there, but mainly the idea is just you can't help how you feel is what it is. Is what the whole point of that is. So,
do you? And I'm going to ask you to play it in a second. But I mean, when you write music, do you sit down and are you deliberately trying to be funny or ironic, sardonic in your case, maybe, or are you just sitting down to write? Or you know, are you coming at it with a certain attitude?
On one hand, just sitting down to write something. But on the other hand, yeah, I'm always trying to have it be not too incredibly melodramatic or heavy-handed, which is why I like things to have like an element of humor involved, and I think that kind of makes it more interesting. If it's a bummer song, if it can still, you know, kind of make you laugh in some regard, I think that's a kind of a better success for me in a way. It's more interesting that way. It's less one-dimensional that way, I think. So plus, I have a tendency to be kind of a ham, so I'm kind of always trying to make jokes. So, you know, that's just how it is. That's how it comes out.
Who are some of the songwriters that you like in that regard who do that very well?
Elvis Costello is the best one in regards to things being kind of simultaneously funny and weird and sad and gross and pervy, for sure. Like, he's the best one, in my opinion, in that regard. But, you know, I look up to a lot of different songwriters, you know, Tom Petty, Paul Westerberg, and you know, I have a wide range of people I'm into. So,
I was thinking a little bit about David Byrne in terms of being a little cynical and a little, you know, bring a little more color.
Yeah, no, I got to get a big suit. My big suit's in the mail. I got to get, you know, I got fitted last week, and this one's really big. So, stay tuned; it's going to be rad.
Gonna push the rest of the guys off the stage.
Yep, absolutely.
Gonna have to get a bigger stage to fit your bigger suit.
Yeah, slowly but surely, that's gonna happen.
All right. Well, you cool to play the song now?
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Well, folks, as he reaches for his instrument, this is Archie Powell from Archie Powell and the Export. He's playing. Sorry. "You Might Be Cruel or I Might Be Dumb."
One second here. I just don't know what to say.
been for all time and a day, and it looks like I'm well underpaid. Know what they say about loans? These things take time while you piss and you moan. The lights are all on, but babe, nobody's home, and it looks like I'm sick like a stone. Might be some kind of stranger, something to stay away from. You might be careless and you might be cruel, but maybe I might just be dumb. Looks as though I'm here to stay. No, it's a grind, I take no holidays. You regret it to meet me halfway, but I guess that it ain't mine to say. You might be some kind of stranger, something to stay away from. You might be careless and you might be cruel, baby, I might just be dumb. Some kind of dangerous game. You might just not be so sure. You might be A-list, you might be a bum, an angel or some saboteur.
One take, that mistake stays.
I feel responsible for that one blip when you took the harmonica off, because I was just thinking, you know, I got to ask him how difficult it is to play the guitar and go back and forth with the harmonica. I've always wondered that, and I was going to ask. And
it's not that hard. It's just you know, it can be. It's just like it's mainly like a positioning thing. Like if you find a sweet spot, like where it is, like on your neck, so you can move your face as little as possible. But you know, that's like one time out of 10 I pull that one off for sure. If we do that live, I don't even bother with that. I usually just like put the guitar down and do it with my hands.
Ah, well, of course, you've got the other guys around you at the
yeah. So that's helpful. But
I can see that.
It's okay. It'll be a much more relatable performance.
Well, so you're here on your own, but you do play in a band. Tell me about the guys in the Exports.
We have Adam, RJ, and Ryan, bass, drums, and keyboards, respectively. Two of them are downstairs doing whatever they do, and Ryan is, I think he's at the office. He might be at the office right now. He's a graphic designer, so he's got the 9-to-5, and we're just a bunch of bums, basically.
I was going to say, the fact that they're downstairs, does that mean you guys share quarters, or how does that work?
Yeah, three of us live together with Mike, honorary Export, Mike, our other roommate, who you can find in many videos and at every single show doing all sorts of wacky things. But that's, yeah, it's pretty rad.
So when I mentioned the 60s, I should have said the Monkees instead of the Doors.
Yeah, I think we're going for the Monkees thing for sure. Yeah, I think we should more actively go for a Monkees thing. All the Monkees stuff we have going on right now is kind of by accident. We need to like really hone in on the 21st century Monkees vibe.
I think, you know, I think the world is always ready for a new band to be the Monkees of that generation.
I don't think anyone's really actively tried to do that, which is kind of weird. You'd think there would have been another Monkees by now. It's a pretty rad idea.
I've been surprised how many bands I've spoken to in the last year where they're all, you guys are all, not you and all those other bands, but the bands are sharing quarters. Is that a sign of the economy, or is it just better for the group dynamic? And
sign of the apocalypse. Nah, I don't know why. It just makes sense. I mean, you know, it's easier to coordinate your schedules, and if you've got all the same bills and stuff to pay too, just for some reason it kind of, you know, it's just copacetic. Plus, we all get along with each other better than other people, so it just makes more sense, you know. I've got plenty of other friends who aren't in my band that I'd rather not live with, so.
I'm assuming none of you sharing quarters then are married at this moment.
No, Ryan is, which explains why he, you know, has his own thing going on. But yeah, we're married to the sea, man. Just sailors of rock and roll.
Ryan's a new dad, is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. June 3rd was the birth date, which is pretty rad because mine's the 6th. So, you know, two reasons to celebrate in the same week.
Yeah, that'll be good every year. As long as you guys stay together, that'll be a good thing. If you have one of those tragic breakups, you know, it's gonna be a little more difficult.
Ah, they can't get rid of me. I'm in charge of the dinosaur education curriculum for this child, so I've got a whole thing going on.
That's a pretty heavy responsibility. I'm sure you take that seriously.
I'm prepared to bear that cross. Yeah, that's my wheelhouse.
So tell me, as Archie Powell and the Exports are coming together, what you guys are, you know, are thinking you want to be, you know, what I don't mean today, but as you're developing the band, finding your sound, you know, what is it, you know, where what are you aiming for? What were you looking for?
The rule is always get gnarlier. So we're already as poppy as you're going to hear us. It's basically what I'm saying. Okay. I think that, that's a good general rule. It was good enough for the Beatles. It should be good enough for every band. So yeah, I don't know. Just getting weird with it, you know, and just trying to have it still be good and fun and, you know, make sense.
You know, I always think twice about using the word pop in an introduction for a band or if I'm writing about a band, because I know in some quarters it's taken as an insult, but I think it's important to that there be an element of a pop sound, because you got to get heard by people to be able to go and develop into something else if that's where you want to go.
I think that if you have a problem with that term and take it as an insult, you just don't get it. Basically, like that's, you know, I think that the stigma for that word evaporated over the long, long.
There's a lot of. I'm going to wait a second. Can you still hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. The video bounced for a minute. So let me just take a half a beat and then we'll just pick up.
Okay.
So, I mean, the bands, I always thought that the bands that are so hung up on, they don't want to be a pop band. They don't want to be I thought, okay, most of those are the guys that you're never going to hear from again because they're not, you know, I mean, do you guys treat it, I should ask this, do you treat what you do as a business?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. We definitely do. It's like what we have going on is, you know, no different than if we were to try and open our own print shop or, you know, bakery or something like that. It's the same basic principles with, like, you know, starting up with X amount of capital and we're all equal partners and we have an LLC and we pay taxes and we get tax refunds and we have a lot of boring paperwork to do. But, you know, like, we've got a company van. There's all sorts of stuff, but it makes things a lot smoother really on the back end, and it ultimately allows us to keep going further for longer than we would have been able to if we were just doing this, you know, unprofessionally, quote unquote, without any of this sort of legal standing, I guess. I don't know. It's really all about getting the tax refund. I'm not gonna you know, but it's nice to be able to write off things like gas to shows and video expenses and guitar strings and, you know, all that garbage. So,
well, so let me just follow that for a second, the business end of this. If you had any advice for other bands that are kind of looking at models of how they're going to be, would you, you know, have you heard any good advice? Have you learned anything important you'd want to share with some other bands that might be following?
Well, you know, if you want any advice from me, which is questionable, I would say, you know, an LLC is not a bad way to go. But, you know, one, you got to keep on top of it. I'd say that division of labor is very helpful. The way that we do it is RJ does all of the accounting, Adam does all the web stuff, Brian does all the graphics, and I write most of the music. So the more you can kind of, you know, have a focus for each guy, it can keep kind of running more like an assembly line. It's a lot more efficient. That helps us on the business end.
Plus, I imagine if everyone has a responsibility, they all have a greater vested interest in seeing things flow and grow.
Yeah, because, you know, far too often, like 9 times out of 10, you'll see it where one guy's doing all the work and it doesn't work, it doesn't help, and it, you know, you get burned out real easy. So,
well, it's interesting. I had no intention of asking you anything along that line. You see, you just never know where the day goes, right?
No, absolutely, never a dull moment. Yeah.
So tell me, what is the difference between the Exports and other bands you may have been in prior to this?
They're better.
All right.
We're talking exclusively about bands that I've played with. Yeah, it's just, you know, I don't know. Everybody just kind of gets the vibe and the direction a bit more kind of implicitly, which is helpful. I don't find that I have to fight anybody very often in order to get a point across, or, you know, like, oh, here's a weird tune that doesn't sound typical of what we've been doing. Nobody's gonna, like, you know, make us think about that. It's usually pretty, like, copacetic, which is helpful.
Well, speaking of tunes,
they can drink more. Yeah. Too.
Oh, is there...
like a lot more. So I think that is kind of a thing as well, worth mentioning, I guess.
Okay, so if the Exports and other bands you've been in got together, the Exports would drink the other guys under the table.
I'd say most of the time. Most of the time, unless you're like 1984 Replacements, I think that we're going to probably mop the floor with you.
And out goes the challenge. Thank you very much. Yeah. Great.
Yeah. Hey, challenge, you know, throwing it out there.
All right. Well, we've promised a second song to folks, and you're going to do the darndest thing. Things plural, right? Darndest thing?
Correct. Okay. Correct.
Anything we should know about this before we set you off?
It's from the first record, but it's one of the songs that works best in this setting, and it's one of the only happy tunes that exists in our catalog, despite how it may sound. So,
all right. Well, let me go all Partridge Family on you and say, come on, Archie, come on and get happy.
Well, we're caught in the avalanche, my love. And it seems as though we've no place else to go. So let's talk to a toast to lack thereof. In a brand new house, we'll build up to the darndest things. Well, baby, I do dig me a mercy name. And it's not hard to see you make me say the darndest things. Well, baby, I do dig me a mercy name. Well, it's time that we got to be alone, away from all the serpents, ebb and flow. And the things of the world that we've outgrown, in the comfort of our snow and our chateau. And it's not hard to see you make me say the darndest things. Oh, baby, I do. make me say the darndest things. Oh, baby, I do decree, oh, mercy, mercy me. And it's not hard to see you make me say the darndest things. Oh, baby, I do decree, oh, mercy, mercy me. You know, if it was up to me, I'd get your lockdown guarantee. Oh, baby, I do decree, oh, mercy, mercy me. An avalanche, my love. It seems as though we've no place else to go.
Very nice. Thank you, Archie.
Thank you.
Archie Powell and the Darndest Things. So you
good band name too.
I'm sorry?
That would have been a good band name too.
It would have been a good name, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You can hold that in abeyance. Don't tell the guys downstairs you're thinking about other band names, though. They might not.
Oh, yeah. No, don't worry about it. I've got my side projects on very tight wraps.
Okay. They might not go well on rent day, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They're paying for me, you know.
Oh, okay. They're carrying
yeah.
you?
Yeah, I get a free ride. That's how this works.
Okay. Well, that seems fair. So you mentioned that this was the only happy song. So what I'm wondering is, do you distinguish between a song that you write and you write it to be happy as you're writing it, or a song that people listen to and they feel happy after they hear it? For example, you know, Crazy Pills had a good effect on me, even though it may not have been the happiest song in the writing of it.
Yeah. Also, I'm not the best authority on what my songs are about necessarily. So, I mean, however you think about it is really what the story is, I think. And that applies to everybody, really. So everybody who writes music, I think.
I guess if I hear a song and it makes me happy, then it makes me want to buy the next song. So it doesn't matter what yeah. you're intending if it left a good feeling with me or whoever's listening.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's really what it's about. You should never really listen to the guy who wrote it as far as trying to figure out what it's actually about. That's like, you know, I mean, that's not necessarily always the way it is or should be, I guess, because they're rarely about one thing ever. They're rarely all about one thing all the way through, and it's just really not that easy. I mean, you set out to write about something, and then as you're filling in holes, it like accidentally turns into something entirely differently. And so it's just, I don't know. There's no rules, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
I know. And there are times, you know, in what I do in interviewing musicians, I want to ask about the songs, but as a fan of music, I know there are a lot of artists who I've enjoyed for years who I really don't want to hear them explain what they were thinking about or what the song's about. I'd just rather be left with my image of it in my head, as well as
right.
Not as well as my own interpretation of what the words actually are, because my hearing isn't as sharp as it was 20 years ago, and
oh sure,
the words are whatever I think that they are.
Yeah, exactly, and that's you know how it should be. I mean, you'd be pretty disappointed if you found out that your favorite song was just about like dogs or something. You know,
or if you like dogs, that might be okay.
Yeah, sure, but yeah, a lot of times they, you know, you might have one idea about it, but they might, if you want the opinion of the writer, it might be about something a lot dumber than you thought it was supposed to be.
I'll give you that.
Which could be a bummer.
So having said that, I will ask you about the title of the album, Great Ideas in Action. First of all, I was kind of surprised that title hadn't been used before. It's such a clean, sharp
yeah.
idea.
I guess I am too. I guess I'm glad it hasn't been used before.
Yeah. It's a real classic title for an album.
Thanks.
Yeah. So I just
it's a Calvin and Hobbes reference.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's a Calvin and Hobbes reference.
Oh my God, you're just aiming to get Bill Watterson to do an album cover for you, right?
Oh, don't even get me started on that. That's just, you know, if anyone could find him, he's like a well-known modern day recluse for sure.
True.
I think he lives in like Cincinnati or Cleveland or something like that, somewhere in Ohio, someplace that starts with a C. But that's really all anybody knows about Bill Watterson. There's really not like any photographic evidence of his existence in 2012 really floating around. He's very private.
Well, we'll probably never hear from him, but I'm sure he'd be flattered to find out that the album takes its name from him as inspiration.
I'd hope so. I'd be pretty crushed to find out that he were like, you know, upset about it or thought it was a kind of a bogus record or something like that.
Well, as long as he doesn't send you an illustration of Calvin peeing on your album cover, I think you're in good shape.
Exactly. You know, those are all third party. None of those are actually endorsed by Bill Watterson.
Oh, he never doesn't license anything. I know.
Yeah, which is pretty rad, I gotta say.
Yeah.
Definitely rad.
Yeah,
it's like Gazi of cartooning.
He put all those merchandise rights in a box and tucked it away and will never, ever spend it. Which is good and bad. I know when my daughter was a little baby, I really wanted to give her Calvin and Hobbes dolls, and of course.
Oh yeah, exactly. They're, you know, everybody wants one of those. Really, might have to improvise, learn how to make your own or something. You know,
not gonna happen. Just not gonna happen. Yeah. So, two more questions. What, you know, in your mind, what would make Great Ideas in Action a success? What would mark that album a success before you move on to the next one?
Oh, it already is. People have been really positive about it, making me feel very good about the product, you know. And I don't know. I mean, we're happy with it. That's a success.
That's good. You know?
That's the first success that you aim for. And so after that, if anyone else likes it, that's just kind of bonus points, to be perfectly frank with you. So
yeah, I think that's fine.
Yeah, I'm already happy with it. So
right.
I'm already thinking about the next one, maybe the one after that, I don't know. You know, I'm never thinking about the thing that I'm talking to you about at the moment, because I finished that like ages ago, you know.
All right, well, so we're talking and it's mid-June. I had to check the calendar. It's mid-June.
Sometimes that's, yeah, me too. I forget the day all the time.
I don't know if I'm coming or going or where I've just been. So you've just done a month of touring. You have some dates coming up though later this month.
We're kind of staying relatively regional for the summertime. We're doing a lot of the summer outdoor festivals in Chicago and elsewhere, and then we should be pretty busy in the fall. So things are sitting good.
Now, why is it that you're doing so many festivals that are phallic in name? I saw the Sausage Fest, Pickle Fest, or Pickle in the Park, or what?
Because it's hilarious. I don't know.
I couldn't tell. I mean, I guess because I'm not in the Chicago area. Are those real festivals?
Oh, yeah. We didn't make that up. That's not just like a joke that we're throwing out there. Yeah, there was actually a Sausage Fest. We played it. They had a Sausage King, this dude who like sat on a throne out in the crowd with like a big schooner of beer and like a crown and his dog. We took him down a peg. He thought he was pretty cool. But I got news for you, Sausage King. Coming for you.
I thought that maybe Fred Durst was still the Sausage King. I don't know.
Is he alive? Does he exist? I don't know. Actually, I heard that he's a fairly competent director now.
I did hear that, yeah.
I believe that Fred Durst is really good at anything, but give him the benefit of the doubt on that one, at least for one chance.
I guess I opened the door to that. So I have to finish by asking, what's so wrong about Nickelback?
I don't know. Making fun of Nickelback is kind of like making fun of retarded people, though. I try not to do it as much as possible, because they don't really need to be taken down any more pegs. They're at the bottom.
I honestly don't know much at all about Nickelback, but I do recall, didn't they played the Super Bowl or something, and it was huge outcry from people who were just like, ugh, Nickelback.
Oh, it was I think it was some bowl game, but they were like slated.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, it was a college, show. Maybe it was a college bowl, yeah.
Yeah, and like, if there's like an opposite demographic that band is marketed to, I'd say like the college crowd is like the diametric opposite of their typical demographic. So that I recall being a bit of a problem.
That was funny. Yeah. I saw your reference to them online. I had to bring that up.
Yeah. Well, it was, you know, like everybody's like, you know, that's everyone's go-to band to make fun of. It's like, hey, you can do a little better than that. You can try a little harder to find a band that is a little less easy to destroy, because they're, you know, they need no more destroying. They do it themselves. They don't need the help.
Do you want to take a whack at somebody else? It's open forum. Anybody else?
I really have to think about that before I really committed to throwing someone down. Oh, you know who sucks?
No.
Bon Iver.
Who?
Bon Iver. He is the lame.
I know who you mean. Yeah.
That's my opinion. And I'm from Wisconsin, and a lot of people are like, you should be proud of that guy. He's from Wisconsin. Actually, it bums me out. that's like what people know about the state of Wisconsin now. It's like, oh, that boring, like weird, like Twee Woods music. No, I'm sorry. That's like, that is really bogus. Oh, sorry.
Man.
Hey. Going on record. Adam has a Twitter feud with Bon Iver. Okay. It's pretty rad. It's pretty one-sided. Bon Iver joined the feud, but I don't know if you pay attention to his Twitter feed every now and again. For his birthday, Mike and I got him a pinata with Bon Iver's face on it.
And did you get it to him?
Yeah, he's got. Oh no, I'm sorry. This is for Adam's birthday, not Bon Iver.
Oh, okay. Oh.
I don't know if it's Bon Iver or Bon Iver. I honestly don't care to make the distinction.
To be honest, I've never heard his music. I recognized the name when I thought about what you had said, but I have no idea the pronunciation.
Bon Iver is French for good nap.
Is that true?
No.
Oh, okay.
But yes.
I don't know. I don't know.
It's not true, but it's true.
It sounds good. All right. Yeah. Folks, listen. That's a great way to go here. You can find Great Ideas in Action, the new album by Archie Powell and the Exports, in great music stores everywhere, great online music stores everywhere as well, or you can download it right now at a great price from MrMedia.com, MrMedia.com. You can check out the band and hear some more of the music at their website. It's Archie Powell and A-N-D, the Exports.com. I'm pretty sure I saw you have a Facebook account as well for the band.
Anywhere you're supposed to find somebody on the internet, you can find us there.
No. So Facebook, yeah. MySpace, I think I saw MySpace.
Except for MySpace, I think. That might officially be extinct.
Ah, okay. Yeah. So skip that.
We may or may not even have one anymore. We probably have one, but it's probably just like a derelict old vessel. Yeah, just skip MySpace. Nobody goes. You don't need MySpace for anything.
Yeah, it's so crowded, nobody goes there anymore, as Yogi would say. Actually, it's not even that crowded. Okay. Well, Archie Powell of Archie Powell and the Exports, thank you so much for joining us in Mr. Media today.
Anytime, man. Thank you.
You can see and hear almost 1,000 Mr. Media interviews by visiting our main site, MrMedia.com, MrMedia.com. Or check out the more than 200 video interviews on the Mr. Media Radio site on YouTube. And I'd sure appreciate if you'd show some love for Mr. Media's advertisers, including Stitcher. Apple named Stitcher a top 5 news app of 2011. It's a free mobile app for your smartphone or tablet that lets you listen to your favorite shows and discover the best of news, entertainment, and sports on demand. You can listen whenever you want to more than 5,000 shows, get customized recommendations, and discover what your friends are listening to. My own list of Stitcher favorites is pretty eclectic. I start my day with an hour of MSNBC's Morning Joe with Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski. Then it's the latest 2-minute update from the Onion News Network. After that, I'll listen to WTF with Mark Maron, Here's the Thing with Alec Baldwin, HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher, and excerpts from E's Chelsea Lately and The Soup with Joel McHale. Also in regular rotation on my Stitcher playlist, The BS Report with ESPN's Bill Simmons, The TechCrunch Headlines, and The Don Geronimo Show. The latest episodes of each show, whether originating from broadcasts, cable TV, radio syndication, or podcasts, are continuously updated. Stitcher is a free app for your iPhone, iPad, Kindle, Fire, BlackBerry, Droid, and more. And show your support of Mr. Media by getting, did I mention it's free? The app at stitcher.com/Mr. Media. That's stitcher.com/MR Media. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. We're also supported by Audible. Check out Audible's 30-day trial membership and download the audiobook version of the book everyone's been talking about, 50 Shades of Grey by E.L. James. Sign up for your free trial today at audible.com/radio. Again, audibletrial.com/radio. And finally, if you need a disc jockey for a wedding, bar mitzvah, corporate event, or just a big old party, please consider calling 1-800-DIAL-DJS, the party authority for all your party entertainment needs. You can call 1-800-DIAL-DJS or go to their website, 1-800-DIAL-DJS.com, and tell them Mr. Media sent you. And thanks for listening.
Hey, this is John Grise. I played Uncle Rico. When everybody's asleep and the lights are out, I go to Mr. Media. I don't watch porn.